Welcome to Listening with Leaders. I'm Doug Knoll, lawyer turned peacemaker. I teach executive leaders how to listen to emotions rather than words so that they can become the leaders everyone wants to follow. And I teach those same leaders how to be authentically present, available, and connected to their families, despite being insanely busy. I have learned that we are 98% emotional and only 2% rational. Learning how to listen to emotions is, in my experience, the foundational skill of life. Stick around to the end of the show, and I'll reveal how you can be on our next guest in 15 to 20 minutes. So let's get started. Bill McPherson, welcome to Listening with Leaders. You are the Vice President of Retail Network Development for two companies, all owned basically the same company, but two different franchise operations. One is alphagraphics.com, which has been around for a long time, and also postnet.com. And you are the guy that kind of goes out and finds people and works with the franchisees of those very successful organizations. Welcome to the show.
I appreciate it, Doug. Yeah, so Alphagraphics been around 51 years and PostNet about 31 years.
I know. As we were talking before we started recording, I've seen the Alphagraphic trucks around in my region here in Central California. So you've got a background in franchise development that goes back a long ways. Tell us a little bit about your backstory.
Yeah, let me back up even a little bit before that, because I think it weaves into maybe a little bit for kind of listening and kind of thought leadership. So born in Southern California, you and I were chatting before a little bit, just north of Los Angeles, and was very involved in athletics, and in fact, basketball. Was blessed and fortunate to, this is way back in the day, but blessed and fortunate to be all city Los Angeles and all valley. So was good enough to get some looks at some Division I and Division II schools back in the day. Went to a Division I on a partial scholarship, and then got injured for the third or fourth time, had to have surgery, and then rehab, transferred to a junior college. My career was all but ended, and so switched to a finance degree, and got recruited out of college with a Fortune 100 company in finance and accounting. Moved to Chicago, Illinois, with Baxter Healthcare, at the time a Fortune 100 company, and was in charge of finance and accounting for about 3 years, climbing the proverbial corporate ladder, as they say. And just by mistake, by happenstance, fell into the franchise industry about 27 years ago. Got recruited to go back to Northern California with a small staffing company. They didn't have any franchise. They were all corporate owned. And after 2 years there of successful growing their corporate units, they asked me to lead and start a franchise. I didn't know anything about franchising, probably didn't even know what the word meant, but it was awesome because I was thrown in and had to do everything from recruit potential entrepreneurs to supporting them, to marketing, technology, legal, all of that. So been in franchising, as you said, yeah, about 27 years now, in B2B concepts, consumer concepts, retail, et cetera.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about what Alphagraphics and PostNet do.
So Alphagraphics and PostNet, print, marketing solutions, signage on the Alphagraphics side. That's kind of their core. More of a business-to-business model, solution selling, et cetera. PostNet started, and for the most part, still very entrenched in pack and ship solutions, but has evolved to mailboxes, virtual mailboxes, notaries, and then some of the PostNet owners have certainly gravitated to more print options and capabilities as well. So both of them kind of in the same space, which is in similar space. So print marketing solutions, providing solutions to small, medium, large companies to get the word out about their brand.
And how many franchisees do you have in the operation?
Alphagraphics, about 250, primarily most of them in the U.S. PostNet, about 700, about the same in the U.S. as Alphagraphics, and then about 400 plus internationally, primarily in South Africa.
And in terms of your role, working with both operations, what exactly do you do?
So my team's responsible for three things. One, bringing in new franchise owners, entrepreneurs. So somebody raises their hand, Doug raises their hand and says, tell me about Alpha Graphics. We take Doug through the whole due diligence process, getting all the questions answered, see if it's the right business, the right franchise. Second thing we do is real estate. So I've got a director of real estate. So we do site selection, lease negotiation, demographics, helping them with construction, building their store. And then third thing is funding. So we work with preferred lenders. Obviously, most people that go into a small business need some sort of funding, so we assist in that as well.
That's a big portfolio. And so your job is really just to grow the franchise operation.
Absolutely. So building the brand, putting dots on the map, as we say, and that's interesting. So yes, that's the primary goal and objective, but I've been very fortunate. These two brands throughout my whole career are probably, well, they are the most selective franchisors that I've ever led, which means a lot of franchise companies, if Doug has the financial resources and there's a territory available in Central California and he has no felonies or misdemeanors, then he pretty much gets a franchise.
Right.
That's how a lot of franchises operate. We go through all the background checks and financial qualifications as well. However, what's most important to us is bringing in the right integrity franchisees, the right cultural fit, because we've been doing this long enough to know that it needs to be a marriage. If we get that marriage right, that culture right, and then the franchisee works hard and follows a proven system, then it doesn't fail.
Right. And so your franchisees are generally very successful.
Yeah. In fact, coming out of the pandemic, both of our brands in 21 and 22 had record years
Wow.
in their histories as far as average gross sales per franchise location coming out of the pandemic. So pretty
Wow.
exciting.
So how much in your part of the business, how much post franchise e leadership development do you do?
So good question. So my team will do everything we talked about to lead them to make the right decision for them and their family. And if they say yes, we want to join the franchise brand, then there's kind of a handoff to learning, development, training, operational support, et cetera. And we've got a phenomenal team, all my colleagues in those respective areas that take it from there and then help the franchisee be successful.
So you've been in the franchise business generally for almost 30 years, and you've been with Alpha Graphic PostNet for quite a while. What exactly is it that gets you excited and out of bed in the morning?
Yeah, well, at my age, I'm just happy to get out of bed with no injuries.
I kind of get that.
After about 40, if I get up with no injuries, I'm happy. So that's number one. I think number two is, well, let me back up. So my parents in Southern California, they own their own small business, a staffing company for 18 years. And I always tell them that they did it the hard way. It was not a franchise. But nonetheless, they had the entrepreneurial spirit. I grew up with the small business owners, my parents. And I've just always enjoyed and thought I'd be involved with it somehow. And then when I fell into franchising, just became very passionate about it because the franchise model helps eliminate so much of the risk, and provide success and the ability to scale and build something for their children. Franchisees, a lot of them will pass on to their son or daughter. So I think getting up each day and being able to represent two very high integrity brands, that's number one. Because I can't sleep at night if my team or myself are trying to put somebody in business that I don't feel good that they're going to be successful. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
So I having two great brands, great leadership teams, and then helping people, go into business. Most people do this, if they do it, they do it once, maybe in their life, and to see them be successful, to take them down that path. And then, like I say, both of our brands, we have a lot of them that do what's called legacy transfers. So where they pass it on to their son or daughter or other family member, and that's exciting.
Wow. What are the characteristics of a successful franchisee?
Yeah, so interesting. So Alpha Graphics, a little bit more business to business, PostNet, a little bit more business to consumer. But even with that said, some of the common traits I think for success in our systems would be great customer service, being involved in the community. So our most successful owners are very much involved in the community, giving back. We were chatting a little bit before the podcast about some of our owners and giving back in their local communities. That's huge. As much as we provide great services, marketing solutions, technology solutions, it still comes down to people and relationships. So the franchise owner and their teams that they build have to differentiate by providing great customer service, relationships. A lot of our business is repeat and referral business.
So how do you, when a person applies to become a franchisee, how do you evaluate whether or not this person's a good fit?
Yeah, we take them through a very extensive process, my team. So from initial inquiry, hey, tell me more about the franchise. There's a very pragmatic and structured process where we get all their questions answered about sales, marketing, technology, support, training, all the things that we bring to the table as a franchisor. But then we also we do some one-on-one phone interviews. We require all of them to come to what's called a discovery day in Denver, which is where we're based, Denver, Colorado. We pay for their trip out here. They go through, spend. We have dinner the night before so we can get to know them personally with the executive team. Then we spend a whole day going through proprietary information and as well as getting to know them better. We also use third-party assessments, personality assessments that I'm sure we've all taken throughout our careers. So it's a variety of things to make sure that we're trying to bring in the highest propensity successful owner as possible because both of our brands throughout our whole history, we don't have a single corporate location. So we're 100% franchised. So if Doug becomes a franchisee, Doug and all of his colleagues, franchisees, that's the brand.
Yeah,
I mean,
you can't have somebody screwing up.
no, our franchisees are the brand. So we're very selective.
Right. And then, so what kind of people are attracted to your type of franchise?
I think, obviously, in any franchise, they want to more control their destiny. But then, specifically with our brands, I think being involved in the community, giving back. We hear stories all the time where our franchisees will be hosting one of us if we're in town or taking a client or a new hire that they have and driving them through the community and say, hey, I did all that signage or I did that billboard or I did the menu board. And they take great pride in providing solutions and helping local businesses grow their brands.
Wow, sounds pretty cool. So this show is called Listening with Leaders. Tell me about the importance of listening in your career and also in developing franchisees.
Yeah, I was thinking about that as I prepared for this because obviously it's extremely important, especially in what we do in franchising, right? We're trying to have people lead them to make a decision if this is the right business for them. And then if they do, that's a big decision, right? Major life decision to leave corporate America, leave their benefits, start a business. And so the tendency with my team is to, talk, 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 sell, sell, sell. Trying to get out the value proposition, right?
Right.
But unlike trying to sell them, a new iPhone or something, this is a business. It's like purchasing a home, okay? And even a greater lifestyle change when they're leaving corporate America. So we really have to coach and be cognizant of listening, identifying their fears, their pain points, their concerns. And it's hard, especially in sales management, because you're kind of geared towards, I need to sell this product or service, or find, is this the solution for somebody? So the natural tendency, I think, is to talk rather than extremely important to listen. Because if you really listen, especially in somebody looking at a franchise, they're going to be fearful. They're going to have concerns. They're going to be scared. Absolutely, everyone will. And so having them articulate that, listening, responding. And what I coach my team a lot on is try to have the franchise candidate or the franchise owner articulate, even if my team knows what their concern is or what they're about to say. I think it's so much powerful if the client, if the candidate speaks it coming out of his or her mouth. And so if you listen properly and then ask the right questions and then shut up and then see if, how they communicate back.
Well, this is interesting because when I work with sales groups, I tell the people that I'm training for the first 5 minutes, don't say a word. All you're going to do is you're going to ignore their words, you're going to listen to their emotions, and you're going to reflect back their emotional experience because you need to validate what their emotional experience is before they'll ever give you the time of day.
That's right.
And to your point, too many salespeople jump into problem solving and selling without ever considering
That's
the
right.
emotional experience of the prospect they're talking to.
And for this sort of decision, we will never get a yes, meaning yes, I want to join AlphaGraphics or PostNet, unless we are very good at listening, identifying solutions to their pain points, and building trust.
That's
Now, how
right.
are you going to build trust if you don't listen?
That's right. And there's something even deeper than that, which you've alluded to, which is creating emotional safety. You're right. People will come in, they're coming out of corporate America where they're pretty well set and probably making a pretty good salary. And they have an entrepreneurial itch. But boy, leaving, to your point, leaving the retirement and the health and the financial security behind, that is a scary proposition. And listening to the fear and the anxiety and the concerns and the worry is, I would think, would be critical.
And you just said it, also acknowledging that. So yes,
Absolutely.
we're going to hear it, and we've been doing this long enough to know that every candidate feels it. Now,
That's
whether they articulate it or not, they absolutely feel it. If they say they're not scared, they're lying.
right. Right.
So then when they articulate it, validate it.
That's right.
Yes, Doug, I hear you. That's normal. Every candidate goes through this. This is why you're looking at potentially doing a franchise to eliminate that risk and have the support, et cetera, but validating that.
Right. And so I teach validation by saying simply a you statement. So, Bill, man, you're looking at this and it's scary. And you're this is raising a lot of anxiety and concern about you because what happens if you fail? You worry about your financial security and your and so this is a big step. And it, at times it seems like it's a little bit of it's overwhelming, the decision you have to make. And what's interesting is brain scanning studies show, neuroscience shows that when you do that, they've got this high level of anxiety and fear on the emotional side of the brain. The emotions are inhibited, and at the same time, the thinking part of the brain, the right ventrolateral prefrontal cortex, is activated. And literally within 2 minutes, they're calmed down, they feel safe, they can think again, and then they can evaluate. But more importantly, they say, man, that guy Bill McPherson, he really gets me. I feel really safe with him.
Well, and I think that's and that's so critical, I think, especially if you don't have the relationship yet in those first 2 to 3 minutes.
That's right.
Because if you don't know somebody, you're going to hop on a Zoom call or meet them at the corporate office or what have you. You know, they already kind of have some pushback to say, okay, this guy or his team's in charge of selling me a business. It's going to cost me $300,000. Okay, get ready for the hard sell, right?
Right,
And
exactly.
so they already kind of have this barrier up, and it's not about that. It's about truly understanding the client, if it's the right cultural fit for both sides, understanding their fears or apprehensions. The business side of it, the franchise agreement, the numbers, all of that will take care of itself if we build the trust, the relationship, we listen. Then we can get into the business model. Is this the right fit? The numbers make sense, et cetera.
Right. And the other part of that is how well does this prospect listen to you guys? Are they do they know how to listen? Because if they don't know how to listen, that's a red flag.
That's a huge red flag, especially in a franchise model, because our most successful franchisees follow the model that's been proven for 51 years. If you're not listening to the coaching of the operations team, the marketing team, et cetera, then why are you joining a franchise? And it's really interesting you say that, because what comes to mind is so if somebody joins a franchise, or we take them to the last step, which is called Discovery Day, in Denver, and we talk about following a proven model. Well, some people may say, well, Bill, of course, that's why we're going to join a franchise. Who wouldn't follow the model? Well, guess what gets in the way sometimes where they don't follow the model? Ego.
Ego. Right, exactly.
They
Big.
don't listen. Their ego gets in the way. They've been very successful in corporate America, and that's not good.
They think that their success in corporate America is transferable into entrepreneurship. And it's not. I have mediated dozens and dozens of disputes where the conflict arose because somebody thought the skills in one domain was transferable to domain. Absolutely not. So how do you go about coaching and training your people to do this kind of listening that they're probably not used to in the beginning?
In fact, in the last 6 months, I brought on two new team members, one for each brand, and so there's been a lot of coaching and kind of onboarding, and a lot of role playing.
Yep.
We do a lot of role playing where, you know, we'll take such I'll tee up a situation. I'll be the client, and we'll reverse it. They're the client. You know, we switch roles, and it takes time because you got to throw out different scenarios and then debrief after and say, okay, did you hear what that candidate said, or the use of words? Did you really listen? What did you take from that? Versus, I know you have a talk track. I know how you've been trained to sell Alpha Graphics and PostNet, but get off your script and did you really hear what they were saying? Did you
Right.
identify their pain points? One of the things that's very near and dear to me is when we listen and we identify a concern, a pain point, or a wound, as I call it, then I don't care what our value proposition process is, we stop. We don't go to the next step. You
Right.
stop and address that, or you're never
That's right.
going to continue to build trust
That's right.
and continue the process.
That's exactly right. You've got to validate people. I call it listening other people into existence. And when you listen people into existence, that's when you can move forward. But if your agenda is on you, I need to make this sale because maybe I get a big commission out of this or whatever, or my performance review. If it's all about me, not going to go anywhere. You've got to be totally focused on the other person.
And
Speaker.
again, especially, I think it depends on what you're marketing, right? If we were selling the new iPhone,
Yeah,
maybe not, depending on how much is on you. You want to
exactly.
make a sale. You're talking about a business. You're talking about a six-figure investment. You're talking
High
about a big
ticket.
loan. There's no way. It's got to be about them.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's so in your career, you've run across people who are poor listeners. What do you think causes poor listening?
Or listening. I think maybe some of their life experiences, whether it be teachers, whether it be their parents, whether it be colleagues, maybe insecurity, maybe just not being taught,
Yeah.
maybe previous job roles that they've had, depending on what product they were trying to sell. You know, maybe they worked at a used car dealership and had very serious quotas, and that was the whole main. They didn't get a salary, and it had to be about sales, right? So, but it's hard, as we mentioned before. Even if they don't come with that, it's just hard because if you're in a sales management role or a value proposition role, I think the tendency, even if you're trying to hone your listening skills, the people that tend to be in these positions tend to be A-type personalities, high performers. They want to succeed. And oh, by the way, they get commissioned as part of their compensation, so they want to make commission. So they're always kind of in this sell mode. That's okay as long as it's an integrity with a good listening process on how you go about it.
Right. I mean, the people that are fairly competitive and self-driven, that's a great because it gets them out of bed and moving. But they've got to recognize that, especially I think in your business, that I'm here to serve my prospect. I'm not here to sell anything.
We try to train, my team to lead candidates to the right decision for them and their family.
That's right. Whatever that decision is.
That's right. And I tell people when they come to the last step in Denver, where we pay for them to come Discovery Day, I open up the day and say, look, you're at the tail end of the due diligence. We're here to answer all your questions. My goal is when you leave here, you can go back and talk to your advisors, your family, make the right decision for you and your family. I hope it's to join Alpha Graphics and PostNet, but if it's not, I'm okay. I'll sleep good at night knowing you made the right decision.
Right. That's the way it should be.
Yep.
And are you able to pass that integrity down to your people?
I hope so, and I think so. I've got a phenomenal team and colleagues, and I think we're all dialed in to this has to be high integrity. Both before they're a franchisee, after they're a franchisee, helping them succeed when they go to exit strategy and sell the business. And unfortunately, there's a lot of franchisors that don't operate that way, right?
Right.
It's about signing the contract, getting a fee, giving them a week of training, and say good luck. And we're about as opposite of that as you can get. So I'm very proud to work in that environment.
Well, the fact that you've got almost 700 total franchisees speaks a lot because, the magic number I think I've heard is like 70 or 80 or 120. And when you exceed that, you've demonstrated that you've got a successful operation.
Right, right,
But and you
right.
guys have, you're multiples over that. So obviously, over 50 years. the company has figured out the formula to build wealth for a lot of people.
Yeah, and I think one of the things, Doug, we got purchased by a parent company, MBE Worldwide, based out of Milan, Italy, about 7 years ago. And so right before I joined Alpha Graphics, and it's just been a night and day difference in a positive way with their ownership, their leadership. The original founding family were franchisees in Europe under mailboxes, et cetera. And now they've built a 10 brand, 3,100 franchises worldwide, $1.3 billion in gross sales last year.
And you're just part of that organization.
Yeah. So it's been awesome.
Wow. That's interesting that a European company would come in and buy. And from your perspective, it's been a really powerful impetus for the company.
Yeah. And quite opposite to where Alpha Graphics was prior to that, which was true private equity. So I admit you're probably familiar with private equity. I've been through two of them myself, and
it's brutal.
They were a little painful, but rather than the proverbial 3 to 5 year, buy a company, strip the cost down, and flip it. MBE has been doing this for 25 years and helping thousands of franchisees be successful. So it's a long game to them.
Yeah,
it's not the short game, which is awesome. But they collaborate with our senior management team. We've got a phenomenal CEO and president in Denver, Ryan Ferris, who I report to. And that relationship between Denver and our brands and over the pond in Milan is wonderful. So we learn a lot from them with what they're doing with their other brands. They learn a lot from us. If we want to invest in a new technology or look to purchase a company, then we go to them. And if it makes sense, they do it. So it's been very healthy.
That's really good. Yeah, I can imagine getting out from under the thumb of the private equity people was probably a huge relief.
It was nice. Yes. A little bit of change in culture when you do that.
Yeah. Well, that you've got owners that are, have a really long-term view of this and look at a franchise operation as sort of a long-term income play rather than
absolutely
a short-term end play. Makes a lot of sense.
And that's the way it should be, right? Because we've been talking about finding the right franchisees with our brands and this marriage, this long-term relationship, there's a disconnect if your parent company doesn't have a long-term play as well, which they do. So it's nice.
Because, as a franchisor, it is an income play. It's not not a capital asset play.
Yeah.
And I mean, the value in the company is that probably the income stream, but if you don't build the income stream, then you have nothing.
That's right.
And the income stream is all based on how good your franchise operations are.
Yeah, number of locations and how well they do, because we get a royalty.
Absolutely. So, that's probably why the marriage with the private equity people wasn't so good.
It's short. It was a short term and then a divorce.
Yeah, there you go. I can just imagine the Advil that people were taking.
Thankfully, I came on right after that. But my boss Ryan went through it. He was the president CEO, and he the cultural shift has just been night and day since we got out of that. And MBE's partnered with us.
And you've probably done a lot better. The company's done a lot better, probably.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, because you can do what you need to do, not do what you need to do for quarterly profits. And
exactly. Yep. You're aligned with your strategic vision, kind of the end game, understanding that we're a franchise model and it's about the long-term growth of the franchisees and the revenue versus the opposite.
Yeah. I've interviewed a number of CEOs on this show who have were sold out to private equity or have private equity. And I haven't heard a story yet from any of my guests that were happy about it. Process.
Neither have I. I mean, there's pros and cons, right? I mean,
of course there is. I mean, if you're a business owner and you want to get out,
right?
Private equity is not a bad way to do that,
right.
But it has its limitations and its shortfalls.
Yeah.
And if the private equity people are not aligned with the values of the acquiring companies, and if they acquire different companies with different values.
Yeah,
high integrity company versus a low integrity company, and trying to merge those cultures, it's brutal.
It's brutal. So the culture, you got a problem with the culture, and then in a franchise model specifically, private equity comes in trying to cut costs, make EBITDA look better. Well, then you're reducing your support, number of people they're supporting the owners. Well, guess who suffers from that? It's the franchise owners,
Right.
right? So that's not good either.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, good. I'm glad that all turned out well for you.
Yes.
One more question before I let you go. What's one thing about yourself that we would never know unless you revealed it to us?
About me?
Yeah, about you personally.
I'll go back to my basketball days, because I think that, going through high school and part college basketball, I learned so many things that apply to business, as you can imagine.
Right.
In Los Angeles many years ago in high school, I was the first freshman in my high school's history that got brought up to the varsity team during the playoffs. And I went to the same high school that Gail Goodrich went to, that used to play for the
Oh, yeah,
Lakers.
right.
And I was the first freshman to ever get brought up. And during that year, we went to UCLA Poly Pavilion and played in the championship.
Wow, good for you.
We lost, but I got to play at Poly Pavilion as a freshman, which was just amazing.
And was that in the wooden years?
Yes.
Yeah.
And walking out, I'm telling you, walking out of the locker room into Poly Pavilion, I mean, it was just, 16-year-old kid, freshman, 15-year-old, it was unbelievable.
What a rush. Good for you. Well, this has been a great conversation, Bill. Thank you so much for your time. Doug Knoll here. Thank you so much for listening to Listening with Leaders. If you are a successful executive leader who would like to be on this program, please visit podcast.dougknoll.com/podcast. If you got something out of this interview, would you please share this episode on social media? Just do a quick screenshot with your phone and text it to a friend or post it on the socials. If you know someone that would be a great guest, tag them on the social media to let them know about the show and include the hashtag ListeningWithLeaders. I love seeing your posts and guest suggestions. We are regularly putting out new episodes and content. To make sure you don't miss any episodes, go ahead and subscribe. Your thumbs up, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show and mean a lot to me and my team. Want to know more? Go to my website, DougKnoll.com, or follow me on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram. That's at Douglas E. Knoll. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the next show.